Morning, Dick.
Morning, guys.
You were very critical last week. We spoke before the Seattle and LA Rams, or the Seahawks v. Rams match. You said, look, Seattle should be too good for the Rams, but you were, you know, interested in maybe playing the spread. But, mate, what happened? And very disappointing.
It was incredibly disappointing. It was the biggest disappointment of the Pete Carroll era. I mean, Pete Carroll's been here for 10 years. He's taken this team to the playoffs 8 times. So, in all, he has had an outstanding run as head coach of this team. But in recent years, they have fallen into hard times early on in the playoffs. This is 2 out of 3 years now where they have not won one playoff game. And that, just in the minds of Seahawks fans, is inexcusable with the amount of talent that they have. I think that they had some big-time offensive problems in the second half of this season. And, you know, the reason that I felt that I liked the Seahawks to win close, I did hedge and take the Rams with the points just to be safe, because I know the Seahawks don't really beat anybody badly these days. But I did still think the Seahawks were going to win, primarily because they've shown such an ability in the fourth quarter to pull games out of the fire. But the problem in this game was they got down too much. And they got down too much because of that inexcusable interception that was thrown by Russell Wilson in the second quarter, returned for a touchdown. The Rams could do nothing offensively on their own. So the Seahawks had to hand the Rams points, which is exactly what they did. They handed them 6 there. They handed them 6 more points when DJ Reed fumbled the punt in his own end. There's, you know, 2 touchdowns plus 2 extra points. That's 14 of the Rams points just given over by Seahawks mistakes, and that really definitely underachieved this year. I mean, a 12-4 team that wins the division has a home playoff game, even though there's no fans there, against a team that doesn't even have their, you know, really doesn't have a quarterback at all. I mean, you knock the backup out in the first quarter of the game, and the starter has got an injured thumb and really can't throw a pass straight. You can't be losing that football game.
With the Browns, look, what did you make of this? Was this one of the great wins of the season?
It was the biggest stunner of the first weekend of the playoffs, no question about it. And not necessarily because the Browns won. It was just how the Browns won. I mean, we were just watching that game, and it seemed in that first quarter like if you took your eyes off the television for 30 seconds and looked back, the Browns were scoring another touchdown. I remember doing that a couple of times. I was over at my folks' house, and I poured myself a cocktail, and I went back to the TV, and I was like, wait a second, they scored again? And then I'd walk back into the kitchen to get something, and I walked back, wait a second, they scored again.
You were thinking, how strong are these cocktails, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, my goodness, I've only had one. Is it really 28-0 at the end of the first quarter? But, yeah, I mean, the Browns were very, very impressive. Without their head coach, handed to them, they were more ready for that game than the Steelers. And it's just a cautionary tale, guys. It's a cautionary tale for a team like the Chiefs. They better come out and play well right away and don't take anything for granted. The cautionary tale for the Packers, because if the Rams have any shot to beat the Packers at all, that would be jumping on the Packers early like they jumped on the Seahawks early. So the Packers, the Bills, when they play again this week, because they played a very lackluster game, they got to jump on the game early. And we'll see if that happens, because if that doesn't, then these underdogs have a chance to pull off another upset.
What about Tom Brady's Buccaneers? This is just, I've been following this from afar. You know, he's still playing, still doing what he does. Takes on Drew Brees' Saints. The fact he's still playing, I find, you know, remarkable, and playing well. But this is a massive game as well.
Yeah, and I got to imagine this is going to be the highest rated football game of the year so far. I mean, you've got prime time, Sunday night football, Drew Brees, Tom Brady for what you have to see is the last time ever. I just can't imagine that, you know, Drew Brees, it appears that Drew Brees is going to be done after this year, even though there's been nothing formally announced yet. But this was the matchup we were hoping for. I mean, when the Bucs and the Saints, when Tom Brady went to Tampa and you knew he was going to play Drew Brees twice in the regular season, you were hoping that, man, maybe they can play for a third time in a winner-take-all, loser-out game. And that's what we're getting. I think we're going to see a fantastic game. And you know, the Saints did not play particularly well this weekend, particularly on offense. And so if the Bucs D can do anything like what the Bears D was able to do, the Bucs are going to hang right into this game. And if this line gets over 3, I see it at 3 right now, If you give me Tom Brady and more than a field goal, I'd lean Tampa with the points in that game because I do think this is probably going to be a field goal game one way or the other.
What about Philadelphia? Was it the right call for them to fire him?
Boy, a lot of the players don't think so. A lot of the national media doesn't think so. I think this is one of those classic general manager has a problem with the head coach. The coach has a problem with the general manager. It's simply that. It's not that Doug Peterson has done a bad job as the head coach of the Eagles. He won a Super Bowl. He's averaged 9 wins a season. He's done a fine job. I wouldn't say he's done an excellent job. He's done a fine job as a head coach. He certainly deserved to keep his job based upon his ability to do the job. The problem is, you know, the general manager is your boss, and something happened there between Jeffrey Lurie, the general manager, and Doug Peterson to break that, and that's why he was gone.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Now, Dave's been watching the Tiger documentary.
I watched it last night, part one.
So I haven't seen it. What do you reckon?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was much better than the one that ESPN did a couple of weeks ago, which didn't really hold my interest that much. This one was a lot more dramatic. I told a lot more, showed a lot more videos from his childhood, showed a lot more of Earl Woods and kind of the, you know, I would say that the first episode was as much about Earl as it was about Tiger, which was interesting because clearly we know now that Tiger Woods is just simply a product of Earl Woods. And Earl Woods is, the great things about Earl Woods and the terrible things about Earl Woods have all been rolled into one in Tiger Woods. And now I'm looking forward to the next installment next week where we are going to see the downfall. It is going to begin. The episode is going to begin with the downfall of Tiger Woods. And then ultimately, the greatest comeback, I believe, in the history of American sports. And that's what Tiger was able to accomplish last year at Augusta.
He's made no comment, or anyone from his team's made no comment about this particular series or doco, have they?
No, which is not particularly shocking. I mean, when you see, Tiger Woods, his boat is named Privacy. I mean, this is the guy that you see it in this documentary. I mean, I don't know how many times we saw a clip, whether it's on Oprah or an awards banquet or whatever. He constantly talks about the fact he is not comfortable being in the spotlight. So, I mean, if he wasn't comfortable at 20 being in the spotlight, he's certainly not going to be comfortable at 45 being in the spotlight.
It's funny, you look at all the stars, celebrities, people that like being in the media, they're always spotted somewhere or, you know, sources said, that type of stuff. Never seen anything about Tiger, do you?
No, you certainly don't. And
his PR people keep it themselves.
Yeah, I'm just glad that Tiger has rectified his life. I am a huge Tiger Woods fan. I understand that he made a lot of mistakes, infidelity mistakes, 10 years ago or so. And, he paid the price. He paid the price dearly with his reputation. He paid the price, obviously, with his body. I mean, his body just has been shot over the last 10 years before finally just rebuilding everything. And I think it's really, really cool that Tiger Woods has been able to rebuild himself. And I hope he contends and competes and potentially wins another major. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think he needs to play more tournaments this year. I don't think Tiger can just show up at Bay Hill
and
take 3 months off and show up in a major and take 3 months off and show up in another major and win. I just don't think he can do that. He's got to get warmed up and play, 15 tournaments this year at least.
And just in still sporting news, I mean, PGA have cut ties with Donald Trump and his golf course. And I must admit, we were sitting here last week, doing the show. We were watching the Liverpool game. And the next minute we saw the scenes coming through from your capital. And we thought it was a new Liam Neeson movie, to be honest with you. It is just crazy.
It's been an amazing, all the way starting back from the beginning of the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter to this. I mean, it's just been an unprecedented, 10 months of time. I saw a funny billboard about a half mile from my house the other day that said, "I miss precedented times," which is exactly right. I mean, can we just get back to just normal, boring old life? Because, these 1-in-100-year occurrences that are happening are unbelievable. Now you're going to see some major running away from Donald Trump now, not only from the businesses to sports leagues to obviously people in his own party. There is a mad dash away from Donald Trump, who really does appear to be toxic right now.
We'll talk next week, and you stay safe, mate.
Thank you, boys. We'll talk to you next week.